Now let us think a little bit of what is mind, actually. Just as the vital is a field of feelings, emotions, desires, similarly mind is a field of conception. There is a distinction between feeling and conception. Now, what is conception? A conception is a form in which the object, which is physical or any other object, is represented. A representative form of an object is called conception. And normally this conception is expressed in the form of words. All our capacity of using the words is because of the power of conception. I see a table. Now next time if I want to tell you about the table, I have two ways of expressing it. One is to take you to the table and say, look, this is what I mean, in which conception is not necessary. I bring to you to the table and show you, this is what I mean. This is the table of which I want to speak to you. Or else, if I know the trick of conception and the use of the words, then without the need of bringing you to the table, I can simply say, I want to speak to you about the table. I use the word table, and immediately what happens to your mind is that the image, representation of the table comes to your mind. Now this representation of the table is the conception. Now this is a great capacity of man, that he is capable of these representations. You might say it's a gift, you might say. All human beings have this gift, that they have the possibility of representations of various things. And therefore, within a small compass, you can contain so many objects because of representations. Now, because of the brevity, all representations are brief as compared to the objects. The word table or the concept table is smaller than this table itself. So, because of the brevity, the capacity of connecting objects becomes quicker. Therefore, the advantage of the mind is that by the use of mind, you can quickly connect many objects and understand their interrelationship. Now here again, there is the word interrelationship is very important. Just as mind is fundamentally a capacity of conception, mind is also a capacity of understanding. We usually say that when you entertain your mind or train your mind, you begin to understand things better. So we consider mind as an instrument of understanding. And if you ask the question, what is the meaning of understanding? When do I say I understood? When do I say I don't understand? Both ways we can try to understand the thing. When I don't understand, when I understand. You understand a thing first when you can touch it. That is one way of understanding. A thing is understood when you touch it, when you grasp it in your hand. But even that is not sufficient. We may say that even if you touch an object, you may not really understand it. Take, for example, the story of Othello, Shakespeare's story again. That is a story in which the major part is played by the handkerchief. Othello and Desdemona love each other tremendously. Because of the love affair, they marry each other and they escape from where they were and go elsewhere. And they lead a very happy life until one man goes on telling Othello that Desdemona is unfaithful to him. That man is Iago. He goes on, he's a poisonous man. And he cannot bear the happiness of Othello and Desdemona. He simply wants to disrupt this happiness. So goes on telling him that Desdemona is unfaithful. And gives a kind of a story that Othello's friend, who visits him quite often, is specially entertained by her. A false story he makes up. She is so attentive to him. Just see. You watch. And that spoils the whole mentality of Othello. But he's so sure of his wife that even though temporarily these doubts come in his mind, he just throws them out. And Iago finds that Othello is invulnerable and the deception that he wanted is not possible. Then he devises a kind of a plot. He bribes or persuades a maidservant of Desdemona to steal the handkerchief which was presented by Othello to her as a special gift, which was prized above everything. And that handkerchief is given by that maidservant to Iago. Having come into possession of that handkerchief, he tells Othello that I have now approved of the unfaithfulness of Desdemona.
What is the proof?
Says, you prize above all the handkerchief that you have presented to Desdemona. You know where is it lying now? It's not with her. She has presented to your friend. He doesn't believe it at all.
It's true.
But he comes home and asks for the handkerchief. And she's quite sure the handkerchief is there. But unfortunately it is not there. And she comes back empty-handed. And this infuriates Othello tremendously. It is for him the last straw on the camel's back. After so many accusations which he had heard over months, this becomes a clinching proof that now Desdemona is really unfaithful. And he becomes so angry, that he murders. And soon after the murder, that maidservant enters. And on seeing this, and asking as to what is the reason, handkerchief. And she says, but I gave it to Iago. And the whole thing becomes so terribly topsy-turvy in his mind that he accused her absolutely falsely. There was no ground at all, such a faithful, such a beautiful woman. And he had done such a great injustice to everybody in the world. And he cannot even look at himself. So he kills himself. It's a tragedy. Now the story basically rests upon a handkerchief. Now many people may see handkerchiefs. But the way in which Othello sees it makes him understand many things. The whole story becomes quite different on seeing one handkerchief. So mere seeing an object is not enough for understanding. The context in which an object is seen is very important for understanding. So all understanding basically is the grasp of an object in the context of everything else. When the context is seen, then you say, yes, now I understand. Mere object is not enough. The interrelationship of an object with all the rest is what is called understanding. Now the human mind is capable of conception, it is capable of understanding. And thirdly, it is capable of withdrawing from the rush of all emotions. This is the third capacity of the mind. It is difficult very often, but it is capable. This is one of the special capacities of the mind. That it can gradually withdraw and become a witness. Pure witness. I can observe my own anger. Although very often when I am angry, I become anger myself. I even lose all control over myself and I don't even know that there is anger. I simply am a wave of anger myself. It's only explosion and nothing else. But when the mind has been trained to withdraw itself more and more, particularly when in the calmer moments, when we have trained our mind to become more and more a witness self, then even when the anger overpowers you, then this habit of witnessing comes to our help. And you can see yourself that yes, now anger is rising. I am being overtaken by anger. Explosion is taking place. And you can even intervene. Because of this witnessing consciousness, you can intervene and can stop anger. Or at least the manifestation of it. Even if anger remains, you can stop the manifestation of it. Now, this intervention of the mind is actually the action of will, of which is spoke earlier. So, without the mind, there is no action of will. Therefore, will is also usually called intelligent will. There is intelligence which works in order that will operates. And this will operates because of the capacity of the mind to withdraw from the rush of emotions, desires, instincts, impulses. And it's a great capacity of the mind.